stop on this train will be...
It's up to you, New York.
Swung on and hit in the air. City center. Fetch back. Away back. She is gone.
This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
Hello and welcome to another edition of 161st Street. Much better vibe going into this episode than last time. Last time we were a little bit like ready to pull out the stool. Wasn't fun. Really bad time after a big sweep, but you know, almost got a sweep of our own. I don't know. The little against the Dodgers series. Now we're recording this episode in the top of the ninth against the Dodgers. Got a little antsy, wanted to hit record on this episode. We got a lot to talk about. We got Judge being scorching hot, which is what everybody needs. I need that in my life. And we got like us telling you the sky wasn't falling like I told you before, which it's not. I don't know. I might be predicting the future. Take my bets going forward. We got the nicknames. We got jerseys. We got keeping belly in check. Other things like fires outside LA Stadium, Domingo Sunday. Gonna be coming every a lot of other things coming back. Regardless, big mood change, big mood. What do you got for me, Murph?
Yeah, I mean, Oakland was what it was. It was kind of shitty for us. We needed one, I guess, where you're gonna lose a few. It happens. But coming back off that and starting to kind of knock around the Dodgers a little bit like we did definitely is a huge confidence boost compared to how we were feeling on Thursday.
Yeah, we kind of needed to make a little statement here. I think we're doing that right now. I mean, knocking around the so-called best team in the league. I mean, we're doing – I mean, they were the best team in the league going into this, and I can admit that too.
The Dodgers.
The Dodgers being, yes.
They're still probably the best team in the league.
Does that,
if not the Yankees.
Does that put us into the conversation right now? Does that well, – this think, series
I think,
alone?
I think the conversation is Yankees, Dodgers, and Astros. There's not really a debate.
Like, so do you think
– three best teams.
Do you think this series puts us up – above them? Does this catapult us there?
No, I don't think so. Not yet, because if we swept them in this series handily, like if it was, you know, 10-1 all the games or something like that, yeah, but it's been closer. It's really nice for us to see, to, you know, be able to say that, hey, we can beat the Dodgers handily with their best pitchers. But I don't know if we're necessarily better than them because we beat them 2 out of 3. Maybe.
I mean, I think it's definitely a good direct test against them. Is it not? I mean, we're doing it against their number
one. I mean, it could very easily be a World Series preview. And if the first three games of the World Series go 2-1 in our favor, love that.
I mean, you got to like those odds. I mean, we're also doing it against their best players, too. Like, their best pitchers, that is. We opened it up against Ryu, did we not? I mean, he had a 1.64 ERA. We
opened it up.
And you know what's crazy? Since we put up, what was it, 7 on them? We put up 7 on Ryu.
Seven on Ryu,
that
yeah.
Move, did you know how much that moved his ERA for the entire season? That one start. 0.5, which is a fuckload. That's a lot. He went over 2 ERA because of that start alone.
Well, I mean, that happens when your ERA is as low as it is.
As impressive as it is, but
so,
I mean.
So, like, if Hap gives up 7, it's
I mean, that's, yeah, that's a little bit of a different story, but for a guy that's been so successful against teams this year, and then we face him one time and immediately make, like, that's a quarter of his ERA we just raised. Right. It's up 25% more. That's crazy.
I think the best part of this series that I think is the biggest takeaway is that regardless, we gave up 2 runs to the Dodgers on Friday night, 2 runs last night, and so far 1 run tonight, and we're here in the 9th inning, and the missile's warming up in the bullpen. So let's say if all goes well, that's 5 runs in 3 games to one of the best offenses of the league. And then on the other hand, we go and we tee off on Ryu, who's one of the best pitchers in the league. And, you know, we put up 7 on him. We didn't really score too much last night. But even tonight, we put up 5 with Kershaw. Like, it's the kind of things you want to see in a series.
It's definitely because, I mean, we're definitely playing up to the competition. Like, a lot of people were worried, like, the difference in level of competition, like, going from the Athletics series to this series. Like, how if we can't beat the Athletics, then how are we going to do against the Dodgers, especially how scorching hot they've been? The game before going against us, they hit a walk-off. Like, you're coming in with a lot of momentum, and we were coming in with exactly the opposite. I think it's a lot. I mean,
it's just baseball.
It's just baseball, Susan. Like, that's just something. That's just, like, it's awesome, though, because me personally also thought, I mean, a little part of me thought the sky was falling. Like, it definitely wasn't feeling good. As upbeat
the
as I have.
Fun was a little jump though.
Yeah, no, and I was on the front lines of that trying to say it wasn't falling, and all there's all the silver linings and stuff, but at the same time, like, a little part of me was, like, obviously not happy with that. Like, no one could be happy giving up three to a team. Like, I mean, the Athletics are a good team, too, and we are going to go out and play them again after the Seattle series at home, yep. which is also big, too. And I want to kick...
That'll be a test.
I want to kick the shit out of them that series. I mean, I think that'd be pretty nice, wouldn't you say so?
I mean, yeah, I'd agree. I think we should talk about, though, just with the players' weekend and everything, while we're still looking at them with the game on. The jerseys that the Yankees wore are just so fucking cool.
I really like it. You know why I really like it? It's because there's no renditions that we ever see. Like, we see an MLB The Show. Like, we go, like, to the throwback unis. Like, it's always, it says, like, yeah, 1953. And we make a joke about it. And it's literally the exact same jersey except, like, a different patch on the arm. So seeing something else like this is so awesome to see, especially all black.
I wasn't that – when I saw the jerseys before this weekend when they, you know, released them, I wasn't that excited about them, just seeing the jersey. Because they could have looked cool, all right. But seeing the full uniform with the black pants, the black hat, the black jersey, under the lights in L.A., like that kind of
thing.
In
such a high leverage game like that.
LA's wearing the white, which didn't look nearly as good, so we just
– I still like those,
we looked like villains.
We did look – and that's exactly
– awesome.
Yeah, and that's exactly like the stigma and like the – like everything surrounding it. It was so cool to watch because – we have that vibe of being like the evil empire mm-hmm. and everyone's saying it's back and us coming into LA and also proving that we are fucking good, that mm-hmm. we can beat the best team in the league and compete with them in a World Series. Like, if we went into we could have just as easily gone to this series and gotten our asses kicked.
Oh, yeah. And that could have been the thing, because when you were saying the sky is falling, the sky is falling.
The sky might be falling.
No, you jumped it. I'm saying if we got swept in this series and we went on the West Coast road trip and went 0-6.
Yeah, imagine even the morale.
I mean, like, mathematically, we're not that much worse off after that. But exactly. It's the confidence, the morale. And once you go into September, this is where it's kind of the burner, especially with how we're going with the Astros for the home field, because it's going to matter a lot when we – hopefully play them in the ALCS.
Yeah.
That's going to matter.
And that's what I was saying, too, because we still had, going into this series, we still had a lead of a game over the Astros mm-hmm. for the home field, and that's the epitome of success this season. Like, yeah, well, you actually also would want best record in the league, because then in the World Series you get home field as well,
oh, yeah.
which is why you can make the argument that the series also matters a lot, because our record head-to-head against the Dodgers is helpful, because we do get that home field. So that is that everyone, a lot of people were saying, like, oh, it doesn't really matter as much. It is, I mean, we do obviously want to win, but it also does matter for seeding as well, because mm-hmm. ideally we'd like to get to the World Series, and ideally if we get there, we'd like the best advantage we got, because it's very hard to go into LA and win.
Yeah,
just as it is for us,
and it makes it easier to keep up with and more fun, because we ran away with the division. There's like the division's gone.
Yeah,
like,
we were talking about that last time. It's not open.
We still have something to, like, we're rooting against the Astros right now the same way we would root against the Red Sox when we're in a division push with them.
Yeah.
For the home field.
And it's hard to play well if you have no, like, nothing, like a fire lit under you, like no competition, you know? Like, if you don't have a race, it's very easy to just get into that dog days of summer mindset and just keep losing. Like, no, there's no pressure to win, you know? So, like, it's good to find that. I mean, it's not very hard to find the other competitions, like against the Astros and against the Dodgers, and just being able to test yourself against other elite competition. Like, I think it's really, I mean, I think that's a good, like, we almost don't have to look to the Dodgers to, like, compare ourselves to them, and not yet, because they're on the opposite side of the league and whatever. But I feel like we do.
Yeah.
If it's everyone's saying this is a World Series preview, if we don't look to them and we don't compare ourselves to them, like, what are we really doing?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's so cool for the MLB how this worked out, because it's LA and New York. It's what it's what everyone wants to see in the World Series. Come on, Houston's great, but you want to see LA versus New York, especially this year.
And that's still close
my
mind.
And then they get to go out there on Players Weekend when they have almost the same record. The Dodgers are winning the NL West, and the Yankees are winning the AL East. And they go in, they wear these sick uniforms, and they put on a pretty good series, an entertaining series, close series, except for game one. And it just all came together really well, and it just looked so cool. Visually appearing, I'm looking at Chapman right now in the ninth, and he looks so cool in the black jersey.
Yeah, I mean, Chapman especially, just he's like almost the headliner for this villain, like, aspect of the team, like him giving that stare after he hopefully closes this one out. That's going to be something to see. Like that, it's just a cool feeling. I think we should just wear these. These should be our like World Series unis. imagine we have these as alternates. That'd be dope.
I wish. We're never going to see the day where the Yankees ever have an alternate.
No, and
that's probably a good thing.
And yeah, and the boss is probably turning over in his grave, just like, are you really going to change? Why are you doing this? This is not the Yankees. Like, but like, so cool to look at for us as younger fans.
That's awesome. I'm a big fan. But while we're going on the uniforms. The Dodgers all white. Kike Hernandez.
He looked like fucking shit.
Oh, my God, dude. He dumped two. Like, it looks like he dumped a shampoo bottle's worth of pine tar on his helmet, and it looked absolutely ridiculous.
It looked so stupid, and that's why I put it on the story after, like, the post-game little clip that I made, and he looked so stupid. I mean, not only did he have so much pine tar on his bat.
Yeah.
But he also fucking painted the Sistine Chapel on the front of his helmet. It almost looked like it was one of those two-tone colorway helmets, but it just looked so stupid. Even Michael Kay was fucking with him. He's like, that is unnecessary.
Well, it's just one of those things because they wear a dark blue helmet, and you can tell that the LA is a little off. So you can tell that he has pine tar in his helmet because his LA is tinted all the time. But on a blue helmet, you can't really tell. But then when you put the
look at he's right there.
White, yeah, he's on deck right now. He still has that much.
He's still doing it. Nobody told him.
And yeah, he just it looks ridiculous.
It's the stupidest thing in the world. I mean, I hope he gets up right now. He is getting up. No, he's up right now. He looks so fucking stupid, and no one else is putting anything on it.
It's
so dumb. Well, that being said, some of the nicknames, I think that's like some of them are bad nicknames. Some of them are. I mean, I don't really even see any good nicknames that I personally like.
No, I liked them, a couple of them. But the one that I thought I didn't get at first was the judge, the BAG. I didn't know what that. Yeah, I didn't know that meant
B-A-J.
Big Aaron Judge. It's or BAJ. Sorry, and I didn't get that. I don't know why they change the nicknames. Like, why is Gary? Why is Gary not El Gary? Why is
the nicknames were like, all the nicknames were also that doesn't make sense for what I'm about to say. The nicknames were put out before the season started, so anything like Le Machine would be on there, but it was before the season started, so he was like the big fundy. I mean, I guess that makes sense.
What is that, big fundamentals? It's got to be, right?
Imagine on the background, it was our nickname for him, just Joe Random. Because he looks, I don't know if anybody,
he looks like,
for those of you who don't know, who haven't heard us talk about it before, but we play MLB The Show a lot, and he resembles the default player in MLB The Show. You start out with number 55, and he's just the most boring default player that you start out with in a creative player. And that is DJ LeMahieu. He's literally, and they name him Joe Random. So that is the definition of DJ LeMahieu.
I loved looking through the lineups because when the Yankees released their lineups, they did it with the nicknames. And so I'll just read the one from, what am I on? I think it's the one from yesterday, but it was, you know, Big Fundy, Big Aaron Judge, Sir MGG, or MJG, went through all the nicknames. And then it's just Gardner.
He's such an asshole for that too.
Not even Guardy. Like Guardy, that's like the nickname. Like if anybody has a nickname,
just being a dick intentionally.
I never call him Gardner. I always call him Guardy. So he just has a nickname there that's just easy and whatever. And he's just such an average. Like
just he's just doing it on purpose.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
He loves having that persona of like the hardo general. Yeah. Like I'm the older one on the team, he's also the most immature on the team too.
He definitely shaved his head when he was like 9.
Yeah, no, he loves trying to be like that drill sergeant type player. Like when we go to the games and we see him in the outfield and he just we yell his name and whatever, he doesn't respond to us, he's at work like we always talk about, but like he just sometimes will just stare at us like an asshole. and he doesn't give us anything. I mean, one time he did throw the ball to Kev's friend and he just muffed it in the outfield, but I mean, overall, he just loves being that asshole. He loves.
I like it though.
I like it too, and I that's what we were saying too. I mean, I feel like it'd be really easy to hate him if like, I can understand why a lot of people who aren't Yankees fans don't like him. Like Matt doesn't like him. Like they just think he's the biggest hardo in the world.
Did you really like Big Poppy or Manny Ramirez? Not that he's compared to them, but like,
well, they weren't like
I don't
that.
Like I don't like Benintendi. Like just people that.
But that's not the reason
that,
I'm talking
the,
about.
The people that resemble their teams, not resemble, but like. That just come into the persona of their team, you usually don't like. Like, I hated Johnny Damon. I hate Benintendi because they're just Red Sox. Pedroia, I hate Pedroia because he's a Red Sox. No Red Sox fan is going to look at Gardner and say they like him.
Yeah,
like
I mean,
Sandy Leon, it doesn't mean matter how good they are. Like, Vasquez. Like, I just hate every Red Sox catcher because they all have the same like beard persona of the.
Yeah, why is that? Don't like that. Why is it? They do love mediocre catchers that look like shit and just look like ginger leprechauns. Like that's like the checklist. You have to check that box, and if not, you don't start.
They've had the same position types like the whole time. Every second baseman's looked like Brock Holt the whole way through.
Yeah.
Except for Chavis, I guess. But.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. If you wouldn't, like, the people that you associate the most with that team, you don't like.
Yeah.
Unless they're a generational talent like Ortiz, I guess, or like a Judge, or maybe Jeter, where that's
and like, if they consistently, and if they consistently, like beat you all the time, you don't really, you can't like them. And I mean, I was just saying the whole general aspect of him being like an asshole. Like, it'd be very easy. He's like a Brian McCann type player. Like, he's that old hardo. Like, he's like the opposite of let the kids play. Like, just all that type of shit. But he, at the same side of the coin, he is that asshole who's banging his bat.
Yeah.
And that's actually so funny.
I love that.
I love when he does that. The let Brett bang shit.
They just showed, oh my God, Brucey from. Longest Yard at the game, sitting behind the plate. Oh, I forget his name, the actor, but yeah, he was Brucey from Longest Yard, and he's wearing all Yankees stuff, and he's got a jersey on and like a hat. Like,
oh,
a
I
Yankees
see him,
hat.
I see him, the fedora.
He's, yeah, he's got a fedora. He was just going crazy. That was really funny. I just caught a glimpse of him.
So regardless, this whole series as a whole, I think it's a very good indication of, like, it would have been really, really, it's, it, oh, we just won, by the way. Brucey's going wild. Brucey's losing his mind.
Oh, he's got a Thurman Munson jersey on, too. That's so
tough.
Cool. Oh, he's loving it.
So, I mean, this series as a whole, now that we took two out of the three, and we do it against one of the best teams in the league, Chapman just did his little stare down. Brucey was going wild. And I think this just is another great thing about this series. I don't know if we mentioned it before, but it's just, we have this feeling of this team. Like, before, maybe, and I made this argument to Kevin last episode. I was saying, like, arguably, maybe the Yankees were looking past the Athletics because they knew this series was underway. I don't know if
that's a good point.
I don't know. And Kev was saying it might not be true. I might be just fucking saying that. But I think it carries a little bit of weight because, I mean, that series is way more important, arguably, than this series. Not even arguably. It is. I mean, everyone was looking more towards this series than anything. Right?
I mean, this was a bigger... The Dodgers series is definitely a bigger series just in terms of...
It just carried more weight. It just carried more weight. And I'm saying, arguably, they were looking past it, and it just didn't really... You were, like, overlooking the other series, and, that, I mean, clearly they weren't really into it. But now, this team gives us a sense of, like, being able to step up in that moment in the big spotlight. And if it gives me that, like, sense of confidence for this team when they get into the playoffs, and that team has it. They have the it factor that, like, they're not going to just... like crumble in the spot. Like they will, if need be, no matter what they are doing going into it, they got it. Like they understand the situation.
This is the biggest series of the year, honestly, I think.
So 100%.
Like, at least the most exciting, the biggest stage, I guess, because it's in LA, it's Players Weekend. There were all night games, well, mostly night games. Last night was four, right? But yeah, like you were saying, it was the biggest series of the year, I think, so far, especially with the fanfare around it, with Players Weekend. It's in LA, it's under the Hollywood lights, all that kind of thing. It's really awesome to be able to go to that stage and get the job done. If they went, it would have been still a cool weekend if they went out and got swept, like, just in terms of, I don't know.
It wouldn't have been cool.
No, but I'm just saying, like,
I would have hated it.
Well, no shit, but like,
it wouldn't have been cool. I think
it
would be fucking terrible.
It's a huge series, maybe not.
I get it, yeah. I'm just saying. I mean, imagine the different position we'd be in if we did get swept or we did lose this series at all. Like, if today, if we lost this game, we're sitting here not talking about, like, we're showing, like, it'd be a completely different conversation is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean,
but it'd be a terrible conversation.
But I mean, my point was that we're going in, this is the biggest one, and it's got the most fanfare on it and everything. It's the most playoff-like, I think, series, it seemed like.
Yeah, 100%
and
the most playoff-like.
And we locked in and we won. That's all I'm
getting. Yeah, so that, and like in that type of atmosphere, they can easily step up. Like, there's a bunch of playoff races going on. Like, we're watching, like, the Nationals against, like, the Cubs and all this, the Mets nonsense and everything like that. But this team, no matter who the opponent, I think if the bright lights are on, it's October baseball, and we're at home in front of a crowd, we're probably going to be there, but I think this team just has it. They'll just get after it. They know what's at stake, and they'll never back down to that. And that's the best feeling you could ever have with a team like this, because you can have a great season. You could win 115 games, whatever the fuck that is, and that'd be great and all, but like, if you can't come down to it, and it doesn't matter unless you win the last game. Mm-hmm. So if you don't win the last game, then the whole season doesn't matter at all. And the fact that this team has that sort of confidence and they know what to do in these moments, I love that.
No, I agree. And I think the other big takeaway, I said earlier that the biggest takeaway was that we were hitting the pitching and we were keeping them off the board. But the biggest part, I think, about keeping them off the board is that Bellinger didn't do anything, really.
Yeah, we definitely kept Bellinger in check. That was awesome. I mean, he literally went – he was like 0 for 4 today, 0 for 5. He didn't have any home runs. And he was definitely one of the biggest stories. Him and Judge, and Judge did quite the opposite, actually. Yeah. Judge was absolutely scorching hot.
And up until more recently, like when Judge had a horrible start to the month of August. Like,
I mean, terribly. That's statistically what he does. Like,
no, I know. But I'm just saying, going up towards the last few series, basically until before the Athletics road trip, it's Judge's cold, Bellinger's hot. And then that just...
And that was But that was such a scary... sight going into this series too, and I'm so happy. It just made me so happy that it did flip like that, and it flipped seemingly overnight too, because yeah. Bellinger was absolutely shut out, and then Judge, all it took was one home run, and it was a mammoth home run, obviously. Yeah. But after that, he hasn't looked back.
This whole Judge and Bellinger thing is so interesting because I remember when they both came in the league 2016, when they both came in 2016, it was like, who's better, Bellinger or Judge? And when they first came in, it was about even. And then Judge was, hit 52 home runs in his rookie season. That just wiped it off. And then this year, now Judge has been hurt a little bit, and Bellinger's maybe the MVP.
Yeah, and there was that whole nonsense about Bellinger, too.
But now it's just in general. All right, so say for now, if you're we'll try to be objective here, and we'll see. If you could pick one of those players for the same contract, same money, starting next year, who would you take, Bellinger or
Judge? I mean, I'm going to be biased.
I just said be objective.
Gleyber. choice C, Gleyber. No, but I mean, I would probably take, completely unbiased,
I don't know, man.
I would take Bellinger, probably.
I don't know.
But at the same time, I mean, because he hasn't really been hurt as much. But I mean, right now, obviously, I'm going to say Bellinger because he's having an MVP year.
No, yeah. I'm
not
going to
say Judge right now because then I look like I'm an idiot. Like, I mean, he's clearly doing it better right now.
But the argument in general is it's always been those two. And for a little while, Mets fans tried to say Conforto was in the argument. Get the fuck out of here. It was always an argument. And then this year, Bellinger definitely pulled ahead in that category. Who's better, yeah. Judge or Bellinger? But, I think... I don't know.
I'd prefer to have Judge, why? Because of the other shit, the fact that he could be our captain. And I will get into that argument right now, actually. I think, me personally, because there's a whole side of him that, outside baseball, him reacting to that old woman before the game guaranteeing to hit a home run.
It was a man.
The man? Well, there was a couple. I saw the video with the woman. Regardless, the old person... He guaranteed, I'll get one for you today. And then he did get one for him today. And that's awesome. But, that's not my point. I'm saying he just has that charisma of being, a Jeter-like player who has – he is the captain of this team. You even heard it before when Clint was having his episodes and everyone was saying, it's because Judge is away from the team. They shared a locker next to each other. He always kept him in check. And I do see that to be – a big factor making him a captain, making him the captain. And I don't know.
There's never going to be another the captain, though.
Yeah, and I think that's the that's
would be a captain.
One of the Yankee captains, a Yankee captain.
A Yankee.
Because the team never has to have a captain at all. But I think if anybody's anyone's more deserving, I think it's Judge. And I think we're seeing it before our eyes because this team as a whole.
But when do you give it to him?
I don't know. And I think.
It took Jeter 8 years, I think. We could look it up.
It is early.
I'm
it
pretty sure
early.
It took Jeter 8 years to become captain.
So when do you think he should get it? Because I think he's on the pace. If not, I haven't been alive enough to know the selection process or anything
We've only seen Jeter. No, it's just somebody. It's not always a filled spot, obviously, but I agree with you in that Judge has those certain characteristics that I think he could make it. He could be a captain. Of the Yankees.
Yeah.
But and the question is more when would that happen? And also his age. He didn't come in that young. He was, 24 when he came in? What is he now? He's probably 26.
27.
26, 27 right now.
Yeah, but the baseball prime is around 28, though.
Oh, yeah. But I don't think he would get the C until after 30.
I mean, they also did jump to conclusions with him right off the bat, too, which could play into this. With the judges chamber shit, that would happen right away.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe that is a little telling also of how the team sees him. out the organization season if they're going to give him the Judge's Chambers right away like that.
He's the forefront. He's the face. He's the face.
He's easily the face of the franchise and arguably the face of baseball too.
Oh, that's.
I don't think that's a stretch though.
Nah, it's not a stretch. He's one of them.
He's one of the highest selling jerseys.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But, like, there are so many other, because Bellinger's still one of them. Yelich is still one of them.
But my argument, to bring it back to Judge versus Bellinger, I think, Bellinger was sat in the World Series last year because he had that whole debacle. Like, he didn't play half the games. It was all big on the lefty-righty shit, but, like, it's all his attitude, too. Like, he wasn't hustling like the Manny Machado shit, and, I mean, it wasn't Johnny Hustle or whatever the fuck you want to call him. But, like, I feel like he's got a little bit of that attitude problem. I don't know how true that is.
You're still talking Bellinger?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess. I thought we were talking about Judge, but...
I'm comparing the two. I'm saying Judge has that charisma. He's nothing like that. And Bellinger is a little
Bellinger
bit...
Bellinger wouldn't be a captain, if that's what you're
saying. I know. I'm saying if we started this conversation out by saying, like, who we would take going forward. And I think, to bring full circle, I'm saying... I would take Judge for that reason also, and that being because he's one of the captains of the team or becoming a captain of the Yankees.
I think he's a captain soon, though. Maybe eventually.
So what do you think the timeline would be on that?
See, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. Because I think it's going to be after 30. I think he's 27 right now.
He's got to continue this for stay healthy as well.
I don't think he's like a shoe-in captain. If he keeps doing what he's doing and progresses towards that, then yeah. But I don't know that. In 5 years, he could... It could be 5 years. They could give it to him next year. You don't know because it's the Yankees and it's only happened like 8 times that they give it out.
Yeah.
So you know.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. Like, I definitely could see him being a captain.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
And I don't know when that'll be, but regardless, I think that's just awesome to have him because when he's hot and having him batting like how he is right now, it just makes this team amazing. And he's literally the heart and soul of this team.
Yeah, no, he is. You can notice a presence when he's in and when he's out, because when he's out of the lineup, it doesn't feel the same. You like seeing him because he's so big and he hits so well and he's such a threat in the lineup and he hits too.
Yeah.
When he's there, you miss his presence. I forgot that we have Giancarlo Stanton a lot because his presence isn't the same as Aaron Judge, even though he's the same size, I guess. Like you notice when he's gone, but it's not the same kind of thing, you know. So he has that presence.
Yeah, no, he definitely has the presence. The presence is all he has. Like, that's not all he has, but he's just the man.
He is. All right, so we're looking ahead. We're going to Seattle. Finish off the road trip. What do you think?
Well, I think before we get into that, let's talk about a few other things. Well, let's pause this bit.
Yeah, my bad.
we're not, like, very far into this episode.
I thought we were.
No, because we paused it and we had to restart.
Yeah, that only took about 5 minutes, and we're sitting at... We're looking at like a half hour.
All right, so we get. I mean, that's still not a lot of time.
All right. Well, no. All right, so what are we gonna talk about next, then? Glaber. What's that? Glaber.
All the Glaber stuff.
What's the UF?
Man? I wanted to talk about Paxton looking great. I wanted to talk about with Glaber. I have a stat on him. I have the fire outside the stadium. Domingo Sunday, you said.
Yeah, I should have mentioned that with the nicknames. We can just scrap that now.
Gary breaking the record. Judge versus Gary's. Which one's more impressive?
All right. Oh, we got to talk about.
And then the preview.
Gumby, too.
Gumby. Us versus the Astros. All right,
let's go.
Didi's injury and future with the team. There's a lot more.
All right, keep going. My bad.
All right, so that brings me into my next topic. Speaking of people's futures with the team, I think Didi went down with an injury today after getting hit by a pitch. What does, and not only just the injury is aside, just that brings his name back up. He's probably going to be fine. What was the injury?
It was like a shoulder contusion or something. He's getting an X-ray in the stadium.
I
don't even know what the worst case scenario was for, but it didn't seem that serious because he stayed in after he got hit.
Yeah.
He didn't steal, but there was one in the dirt or something. He slid into second. Seemed fine. It seemed more precautionary.
He always gets injured on sliding shit.
Like, well, I think the injury was from the hit. I think they just took him out to more be careful. It didn't seem like it was something that, you know, required.
No, yeah. You know. And that's just me bringing him up right now. But with Didi, and we're talking about futures with the Yankees, he's in a contract year, and I don't really I wanted to get your opinion on this. I wanted to see, like, what do you think his future is? Do you think we re-sign him? I would love to have him back on the team, but, like, what do you think the perspective of the team is? Because, I mean, we do have a Gleyber Torres who was a shortstop by trade, and, I mean, who knows? We also just got this Gio Urshela character. Like, he's amazing,
I'm not high enough on Gio Urshela to pick him over Gregorius.
Well, I'm just saying, he's at third, and if I mean, look, we got LeMahieu, too. So have him there, him at second.
I think we
shortstop
need
for the future.
Well, we were just talking about Aaron Judge and how his presence is missed when he's not in the lineup, and Didi does the same thing. Didi's not as much of a captain as Judge would be, but he's just a Yankee, and everyone loves him, and he's good, and he's really good, and that's the point.
I agree.
And he's also a lefty, which you don't have a lot of.
That's true, too.
But I don't see them ever getting rid of him. Well,
yeah, but there's always that shit. There's always that shit they did with, like, Betances, and he had, like, the arbitration that they went to, because that's what happens with contracts, and they never expected that with Betances, but then they absolutely ripped him apart in arbitration.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just, you gotta hope that doesn't happen. But
I mean, you never want that to happen with anybody, but sometimes it has to happen because the two sides may be far apart in terms of contract talks, and that's where it stems from. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, Didi may be asking for more, and other people may give him that, and he wants to stay with the Yankees, but the numbers may be a little too far off because he hasn't produced and is injured in as of recent. Like, he's batting 265 around right now, and he's coming off that injury. He gets hurt. It's probably not a bad injury right now, but, like, the past 2 years as a whole, I feel like the numbers may be, like, the two sides of this negotiation might be a little bit off, you know?
Yeah, so no, it could happen.
Definitely stems the conversation.
I don't see any reason for that. Yeah, they could hardball him and all that, and that could happen, but I don't see any reason that the Yankees would want to not bring him back.
Because, no, I agree, and I'm hoping that they do. They're hoping that they do bring him back because I love him and I love his energy and, like, his cartoons he makes after the game.
He's
just the heart and soul, and him and Gleyber dancing and everything that they do. I'm just saying, is there, like, with Gleyber being a shortstop by trade, is there a possibility in him being 22 and all that stuff? And, well, like,
I mean, yeah, Gleyber's going to be a perennial all-star with the Yankees, I think, his whole career.
I mean, yeah,
whether
it's
at shortstop or not doesn't matter to him, I'm sure, and it definitely doesn't matter to anybody
watching.
Yeah,
I'm sure he's not, like,
he's there and he does what he does, and he's going to be there after Didi's gone, regardless whether he leaves this year or if he retires a Yankee. Gleyber's still going to be here when he leaves. And you can always move Didi around, but he's not as versatile as Torres, but Torres can go play wherever he wants. Torres can play anywhere in the infield except for first and catcher. So he can play that whole left side.
Can he play third? He's never played third.
They had him at third all the way up through the system.
Oh, I didn't say that third.
When he was supposed to come up, and then Andujar happened, that's when he went over to second.
Well, Andujar, I think we're under consensus that we think he's going to get traded, right?
I mean, that's the thing, because if we can get something for him, great. But I don't think we should just trade him just to trade him.
No, obviously the right deal has to be in place, but I feel like, we're also huge Andujar fans, and we always have been. I personally have been. I really like Andujar.
We talk about him like he wasn't just
rookie of the year. Arguably was rookie of the year. I don't think
he was our rookie.
Babe Ruth Part Two, who sucks. Like, Ohtani played well, but,
like, how would we know that if Andujar didn't get hurt in the beginning of the year, that he wouldn't be doing exactly what Glaber's doing right now?
He had a better year than Gleyber.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. So there's nothing I feel like
why are we trading him then?
Exactly. So, and I think that a lot of us on this whole team that we put together here have been very, like, quick to say Andujar gone. Like, I just did.
Why are we saying that?
I want to take a step back here and say, like, why? Because, like you said, like, he is still that player that was better than Gleyber last year. He had a better year. He finished higher in the rookie of the year voting than him.
Yeah.
And that's all that needs to be said. I mean, Gleyber Torres. Gleyber took huge strides, and that's what we're about to talk about too, with him going up in every single category, like, in terms of every statistic possible with Gleyber Torres, and that's just amazing. But with Andujar, this conversation is going to be continuous throughout the offseason. It doesn't make it any easier that Gio Urshela is now in the fold, because Gio Urshela is good.
Gio Urshela is good, but we didn't sign him for very much. It's not going to hurt us to keep him on the team.
I know.
Re-sign him, we're still not going to he's not going to have that much leverage to – it's not like we're going to give him some, you know, multi-year contract for however much money. We don't have to choose between the two of them, especially because we play in the American League and we can have a DH, because Urshela's going to play third base as much as he physically can, as long as he's playing well. Andujar is abysmal at fielding. And so why can't he DH and have Gio play third?
We
have six guys that probably should DH, but like you can work around that.
But some of those guys won't be the long term guys. Like some of the guys that are like sitting at DH will be like the Encarnacion and Kendrick Morales. But Encarnacion's not going to be here for the long haul. Like this is, I'm talking about a future problem. I mean, he could be. I don't know, but I'm just saying.
Think so, but yeah,
it almost doesn't need to be a position debate. It can be just like, yeah, he's never been good in the field. So like, why are we even comparing the two? Because yeah, he is a third baseman, but like, we don't have to trade him just because they're both third basemen.
Right.
He can you're right. He could be just the DH, and I think that's what he also is good at. Like he can get better at fielding. We've seen it out of Devers. Like he's now a really good fielder. Like it can be taught. I feel like the bat can't really be taught.
Yeah, but he has. That's the point.
Exactly.
I just think that, I actually am part of the problem with this because I think there are just so many people that, while he's hurt and Gio's playing well, so we could get rid of him. Like, why? It's not going to be like Tom Brady, Drew Bledsoe situations where you have Drew Bledsoe, he gets hurt, Brady slips in, and all of a sudden he's good, so you trade Bledsoe. Yeah, it's not like that. And that's what everyone seems to think wants to happen because the narrative that everyone I think has is, all right, well, the Anwar could have been great, and then he got hurt, and then Gio stepped in and did fine, so we're gonna dish him out and give him away. And then all of a sudden, we're going to be going, and no matter where he goes, he's going to somehow end up in, like, MVP voting, and we're going to be like, why did we get rid of him? If that happens, I could actually see that happening so well. Because he's as good as Glaber. And the last time we saw him and Glaber playing at the same time, he was a little bit better than Glaber.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we just put that conversation kind of to rest with your point about how it's not like a quarterback battle. Like there does have to be one quarterback. That's it. That's why Drew Bledsoe and Tom Brady thing happened.
I don't know why that was the example I thought of, but yeah.
Regardless, but it makes sense.
Or Gehrig and Wally Pipp.
Fuck off. We're talking about baseball. Who?
Lou Gehrig and Wally Pipp.
Oh, okay.
Wally Pipp took one off the dome, and then that's how Lou Gehrig came in.
Okay, but fair. But I'm saying this doesn't have to be. It's a flexible thing. It doesn't have to be just strictly the third base battle. Like, yeah, I mean, Gio wins that battle at third base, but there is a DH spot open. We are in the American League, so that's fair. I mean, yeah, I don't want to get rid of Andujar by any means at all. I love Andujar, and I think if there's no offer on the table, like was like a situation with the trade deadline here, and I think that's a great sign to see because we know Cashman isn't going to make a move unless it benefits us, and he's not going to just throw away Andujar because he knows the value that he brings. So I think we're safe in that regard.
Yeah, he's certainly not untouchable.
He's not untouchable.
Like he could go, but it's not like he's on the block. Somebody comes knocking on the door with an offer that's really, really good for Andujar. I think Cashman would pull the trigger on it.
Yes, and that has to be a good deal. Like I love that we have that sense of like encouragement and security in having Cashman as the GM, which obviously we trust him. He's our watchful protector and all that jazz. But I'm just saying, it's just a good feeling that we know that. Everybody will be traded if the right deal is in place, and that's all we need to say about the topic. Let's move on. But with that being said, the Gleyber Torres thing, I mean, he was a step behind Andujar last year, and now we can clearly say that he's making enormous strides this year. And if you want to bring up the stats about how Gleyber has improved in actually every single category known to man, I mean, I'll pull them up right now.
Yeah, basically, last year he popped off and everybody knew what he was in there.
So here's the 2018 to 2019 comparison with Gleyber Torres. So in 2018, I'll go stat by stat. So for batting average, he went from 271 last year to now 289. Then for OBP, he went from 340 OBP to 353. In his slugging category, he goes from 480 to 552. In OPS, he goes from 820 to 904. In home runs, he goes from 24 home runs to 32, and the season isn't even over yet. That's a stat that's more. It's benefited by having more time. The other ones were percentages, so it's not as. It's better to have a bigger sample size. But with this one, he's already beaten it by eight, and we still have like a month and change left.
You think he hits 40?
I think he could. He's red hot.
Yeah, I think he might.
He hasn't slowed down all year.
Yeah, no,
I mean, he's my favorite player by far. But continuing
really
down,
cool to see.
Yeah, continuing down the line with the runs, he had 54 last year, and now he has 84 already runs, and that's kind of alarming too because he's batting in the back end of the batting order.
That's been the narrative all year. he was always hitting with, you know, he always had Talkman and Romine and Maven who are having really good years with RBIs. Also, sometimes he looped around
the five
and
through LeMay, nine,
who
yeah.
refuses to not get a hit.
Exactly. I think that does help him a lot because the back end of the five, we talked about it on other episodes prior, the five through nine have been absolutely crazy good.
Absurd.
It's, like, it's been like unheard of ever. Like, so, I mean, that does benefit him a lot, but I mean, a 30 run swing and the season is still a month and change left and he doesn't look like he's going to slow down. Like, he could easily break 100 for that.
Plus 32 of those runs are his own home run.
Exactly. And the last fact, he's also a 22-year-old. That's also amazing, too. And 1 year to the next as a 22-year-old.
Are you older than him?
He's older than me, but he's actually younger than Alyssa, too, by like a couple of days.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And then for his strikeouts, are actually down too. He went from 122 last year to 100, and it may end up being similar.
Yeah, that's tough, but it's probably a pace thing. Is that by the end of the year or through this date last year? Do you know?
That's by the end of the year.
Okay.
But he has 15 more at bats. This is taken when he has 15 more at bats in 2019. So actually, I think it is on a similar pace.
Just got an alert. Didi's x-rays are negative, so he's day-to-day. Wonderful news.
That's amazing.
Needed that.
Yeah. So with that being said, I mean, Gleyber is just – the sky is the limit for this kid. And I love having him and Andujar as two of these – like this tandem. And that's why I'm glad we kind of settled that in our brains that Andujar is going to be around for a while because, I mean, Gleyber is not going anywhere. And these two going forward, I mean, they're just going to be competing. Like, just this team, this group of guys, this young tandem is just going to be – continuing to improve, and it's scary how good we can be if these guys all stay healthy and continue on like improving their games like they should and like they will, because we have great coaching staff and everything like that.
Well, that's why we're doing so well this year. It starts in the minors. We were talking earlier before about, you know, what to talk about on this episode and everything, and we were saying that the next man up thing is kind of starting to go a little bit to the wayside because we're starting to get guys back and guys are supposed to be back. Montgomery's thrown in the minors. Seve and Betances are supposed to be back by the middle of September. You know, other people
Stanton
are
coming back, Voigt coming back. Yeah, he's going to battle through it, everything like
but,
that.
So we were just saying that, but the reason that the next man up thing works so well with the Yankees is it's all started in the minor league system. It's no secret that
it's not a fluke.
They have the best minor league system.
Yeah, this isn't just a fluke.
In baseball, they bring up, that's why the Yankees are so good. And they can bring up guys from their minor league team that are that good. And they just have, like, this attitude where – and they went up, and it was an attitude thing, and they did it, and it was all coaching.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not – like I said, it's not a fluke that this is happening. It's not, like, crazy, like, oh, my God. Like, the Yankees have – or, like, everyone who's just coming up is performing. Like, even guys – like, random analysts that aren't just Yankees analysts have even said – it was in the video I made that he was saying, like, it's just like, – it is next man up because this is a really deep team.
Yeah.
This isn't a shock that this team was able to do this because you got guys, like – the Talkmans, who is an athlete, like he is. This isn't crazy. Yeah, what he's doing now is crazy, but like it's not alarming.
We're one of the only teams, probably the only team in the MLB that could play a season with their 40-man roster, and every single player would be MLB ready. And
exactly, actually, this team, it's just a testament to how deep this fucking team is. The team is so deep, it's ridiculous.
Dude, they keep calling up people I've never even heard of. Like it's been all year. They called up yesterday. I forget his name. They sent Loaiza down, and they called.
Whoever it was.
Whoever. It's just like these people that I hadn't even heard of in the minor league system. They come up, they pitch. I think it was a pitcher.
Yeah.
And they're not there. Like, it doesn't make sense really from an outside standpoint. And if you're not
up to speed, but everybody knew we had that good farm system. And even like we joked about it last episode, but how fucking terrible Mike Ford is. That's the only one that maybe. Fluky when he does well. I mean, a broken clock's right twice a day. So, I mean, Mike Ford, he came out big today when he came in for you, replaced Didi. But, I mean, it's just a testament to how deep this team is and, like, the Geos and everyone like that. Just being able to, they're just good players. They are. It's just how they are. I mean, it's kind of crazy, too, that DJ wasn't on the starting lineup this year. He was, Tulo was starting.
I mentioned this, this is only the second time that I've been on specifically, but the last time that I was on, we were talking about how good. Like, the team that wasn't even supposed to... Like, if our opening day roster, what it was supposed to be, if we had them all year, what would the record be? Like, would we be at 100 already?
That also leaves off DJ, though.
It doesn't... Well, no, he would still be...
He's not on the...
Well, no, I'm talking about, like, no, just, like, the starting roster, I guess. Maybe not the lineup 1 through 9, but DJ was on the starting...
roster. Yeah, I thought you meant starting. If we had the regular starting lineup,
the starting roster. So the starting 25-man roster, I guess, is what I meant.
Yeah,
and everyone's healthy the whole season, which I guess nobody happens. But
see, I don't know if it'll be that different.
We were what 84, and well now we're 85 and 47.
40, yeah, around
85
that, yeah.
and 47. I think we are right now. What would we be if we had that?
See, I don't really buy into that as much. I get it. Like, yes, we're leaving a lot of, like, I saw the crazy stat. It was like $69 million worth of salary off that has been injured. We currently, the injury bug hasn't been kicked by any means. We got some people back. It's not as abysmal, but there's still 18 guys on the injured list, mm-hmm. like, as of current,
that's still
which
high.
Is disgusting. And, I mean, I kind of buy into the fact that, like, I don't think it would be that much different. Like, maybe it'd be around 90 wins, like a couple of games. But I'm just saying, because these guys have performed at such a high level as replacements, that, like, would it be, like, is there that much higher of a level that they'll hit with these players? Or I feel like these guys that have been replacing them are filling the void of what those guys would perform at their regular potential.
No, I know.
These guys are, like, outperforming their potential, but I feel like that level is exactly where, like, the other superstars would be performing. So I feel like it's kind of similar. I mean, this is just my take on it. I feel like they'd be around the same amount of wins. I don't think it would be, like, so many more wins, you know?
No, I guess not. But, like, it's just like a fun kind of thing. Yeah, but, like, no, you think about it.
I could be wrong. I'm just saying, I think as a human being, the amount of production you can get out of a player, I feel like they're hitting, like, the max capacity. Like, they are really performing not only good for them, but good for any baseball player, a superstar or not.
Yeah, no. And that's just how baseball is. Like, nobody's ever gonna get to 100 wins before September.
Exactly. And maybe not. And that brings us. Did we talk about that we're the first team?
We haven't mentioned that yet.
Yeah. So I mean, I'll segue that in from this point. I'm just saying, like, the best thing you can possibly get out of a player is, like, let's say a home run. You can't get any more of a home run. It's still the same amount of, or RBIs.
Feels a lot better to hit a 500.
Feels a lot better. Like, yeah, I get it. And the exit velo and everything like that. But, like, in terms of production and runs and efficiency and stuff like that, I feel like the record would be around the same again, because these guys are still hitting a lot of home runs. Like, all of them are around 20. Like, you never knew that DJ LeMahieu, who's never hit over, like, 15 in his career, is now around 20. You got guys like Gio, who apparently can rake, and he was a journeyman before, and now he's hitting around 20. He found this new sense of power, which is crazy.
The Yankees, Didi did the same thing. Didi too. He didn't know what power was when he got here, and then he had the most in Yankees history in a single season.
Exactly. Like, for shortstop. Yeah. And he also benefits from the short porch and everything like that. But, I mean, these guys are also spraying it all around the field. Like, Talkman genuinely has that power, and he's hitting home runs too. I'm just saying, from that perspective of production, you can't get more than a home run. Like, home run is the max you can get.
Talk about spraying it around the field, though. Aaron Judge is, first of all, on fire. And second of all, just the one thing is he hits so many home runs opposite field.
I love it. It's so cool.
And I guess it makes sense, especially that he's a righty playing at Yankee Stadium with the short porch. Like, that's what
Kev always says. He says that he does that on purpose, which I don't know how you – I mean, you got to be pretty damn good to be able to literally. I mean, I believe it. He can probably pick the fields he wants to hit it to, but, like, time like that,
he can pull it if you want to. Like, Gary pulls it.
And I get it, and that's why he was probably, like, I mean, with that interview with the Meredith Marakovitz at the end of the game, he was tight. Like, he wasn't malicious at her. They have a good morale and, like, they have good, like, relationship together. But I'm just saying, I think it's just funny. Like, it may be a testament to him being, like, just that good of a player. He could probably spray it over there if he wanted to, but I don't know.
I feel like Stan's the same way, though. Like, you know how if you think of a player and their swing, it's usually a home run, and it usually goes in a different direction. So if I think of Gary, I think about him hitting one 430 down the left field line. When I think of Didi, I think of him basically stepping out of the box with one foot as he's swinging and pulling it over the short porch. When I think of Judge and Stan, those are the two, I think of them going up.
Yeah. Stan goes up a lot.
They both do. Yeah. And their swings are somewhat similar to me, I think. Maybe not as technically, but just a general feel. Like, it's like almost a little half cut. It's just so much power. Yeah. And they both hit the ball so hard. That's part of it.
Yeah, I mean,
speaking... Like, you have it. You think of Guardy, I always think of, like, a ground ball right up the middle, and he starts
But even
right
he's hitting a ton of home runs, too, which is... And,
it doesn't make sense.
He never has put up home runs like this in his entire career. Like, like, very much... Like, this is his best offensive year in his career. Like, he's never been anything like this in terms of, like, anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the steals are down a little bit, but, like, that's just with age, but... this is his best like offensive efficiency year of his career. And that's a testament to
Definitely in terms of power.
I was looking at the Baseball Reference. I'm not going to pull up the numbers right now, but he's having one of his career years.
Definitely a career year.
And that's a testament, like I was saying, to the entire team being able to produce at a high level. Everyone's hitting home runs, and that's what I'm saying. Like, to bring it back full circle with the amount of wins added extra, everyone's doing the maximum you can get. The best thing you can possibly get at the plate is a home run.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone 1-9 is doing that. Like,
right. It's
just crazy. And then that goes to our point here about us being, and this is kind of sneaky too, because I feel like we could have gotten this any month, but we now become the first. This is with Judge's home run today, right?
Judge's was 60. So the record of all time was 59. So the LeMahieu got 59, which was the most all time, the most home runs in a single month, calendar month,
ever
in the history of
the
baseball.
MLB. Yeah. in the history
so
of baseball.
So DJ broke it. And then Judge hit 60 for the first time ever, obviously. And then now we have 61 because Ford Wingard today, too.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of sneaky, is it not?
Yeah. No,
I feel like this is kind of a down. I mean, maybe just because of that sweep.
Well, just think about how hot we were in July. Like, you would think that July would have been the year for that, like the month for that.
Or even the Twins, how hot they've been in the pace they've been.
Yeah, but they don't launch home runs like the Yankees. The Yankees are homer. They live and die with the long ball. They've been saying it for years.
The Twins have more home runs than us.
Any team's going to do that?
Yeah, they're leading the league. They're about to break the record all time for home runs by a single team. So I feel like if anyone was going to do it, I didn't know that. It was almost sneaky that this is the month.
Yeah, no, it is sneaky.
And it's also nowhere near done.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been really cool. It would have been really cool if we broke this record in October.
I mean, yeah, but we're pretty close to getting that. I mean, we could do it again. We could break our own record.
That's true. That's the other thing I'm thinking, though, because Judge is very obviously heating up, and he's most likely going to stay hot right now, especially because of that slump. You come back on the slump the other side.
And because statistically,
is it too early for him to be that? He's got a full month in the playoffs to kind of cool off a little bit.
That is a valid point because I'm not going to sit here and say I'm an analyst or anything like that, but like people, I mean, can he sustain this amount of?
I mean, it's
heat?
Judge, so yeah.
It is Judge, and statistically, if we look back to 2017. Remember, he was awful in August, and then September he heated up. This is a little bit earlier getting back, but he also wasn't one of the worst stretches.
He was abysmal. This is one of the beginning of August. This is one of the worst stretches of this game.
You know, it's so bad because this is the worst we've seen Judge because like we said in the last episode, like me and P were talking and we're like, "Yo, like, is this what Judge is like?" Is he a career 250 hitter we're going to see from here on out? Like, we haven't seen much of him. It's still early on in his career. And I was that low that I was like, yo, maybe this is the Judge we're getting. And it's not. And we were obviously overreacting. But it's just nice to see, refreshing to see him get back to where the Judge. Because it was almost like the inner Yankee fan of me never wanted to say that. And I don't believe it. I'm glad he's back. But, like, other fans outside like saying like, oh, Judge is overrated. Like, it's good to see him back, and it's just good to be out of that little rut that I was in. And I'm sure a lot of other Yankee fans were in the same mindset.
We all were. But I mean, 2 weeks ago they were talking about moving him down in the lineup or moving him maybe even out of the lineup. And Boone stuck with him, and he said, no, I'm not gonna move him down. He said mostly there his whole career. We're gonna leave him there, and then he's gonna go get hot again, and he did. That's exactly what happened.
And could you imagine how that would take a toll on Judge? That's why you can't do it. No matter if this slump continued going.
It would have continued if he'd moved him.
Exactly. But let's say this slump were to continue going for another couple of weeks and the conversation really becomes like, maybe we should move him down, move Glaber up. Because I remember somebody on the post commented like, what was one thing you would change about this game? And somebody said, I'd move Glaber into the two and Judge to the six or something. Like, all right, come on, dude. But like that, if you move Judge back, like, that does everything to his confidence to make it worse. And, like, you can't do that to a guy that we're talking about being our captain, too. Like, this is his team. That's his spot in the two spot. Like, you got to keep him there no matter what they can think. Like, if you're moving him after a month of slumping, what does that tell to the rest of the guys, too? Like, it's just not a good message to send to anybody.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. It is what it is. I just hope he stays hot for hopefully all of September. And then I think it's kind of looking good right now for the Yankees because I want to get these guys like the Betances and the Severinos of the world back before the playoffs actually start.
Yeah, and
I
they're
think
on pace
September
to do
is a
that.
Good time for that too.
Yeah,
because
that's enough time.
You get a few games for them where their first game back isn't a playoff game, but then you're also still riding that, like, the whole we're back here, let's go, let's do business, blah blah blah. Like that's still fresh, the fact that they're back, but it's, you know, still enough time in the season where they're gonna have 2 weeks under their belt before the playoffs, which is great. It's like giving them a mini spring training before the playoffs.
Well, you know what's also something came up and they were talking about how like the rehab stints and if they would be if they even have time to do that because it's funny because the minor league season ends before September call ups. That's why the overlap is good because the season actually ends early, which makes sense because there's no point in them continuing. But like, and they were talking about how like them coming back. On my point with this whole September call up thing is saying that when they come back, there's nowhere to put them. Like, there's not a place to put them in the minor leagues in a rehab stint or something like that. So we're going to have to make use of them right away. Like, their rehab stint is going to be on this team, like, during the middle of September because the season's over for minor leagues. So there's literally nowhere to put them, and we need to get them real in-game experience. So, I mean, it's kind of forcing their hand. Like, if they're ready to go and there's not going to be much of a rehab. Like, he's doing simulated games, Severino, and I think Betances is still throwing off off mounds and stuff. But I think it's good, and it's a nice little like reassurance that we're going to get them back even quicker because there's nowhere else to put them, you know?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And one of the other good things is it's pretty underrated because everyone's talking about how Seve's coming back. Everyone's talking about how Stan's coming back. Everybody's talking about how Betances is coming back. But the one that's kind of going by the wayside a little bit is Jordan Montgomery. So he's throwing in Tampa. He threw today, I believe. Yeah, he threw today, and he was before he got hurt last year, he was actually really good in terms of rookie pitchers. So he had it, lost it. So he looked excellent today. He threw for two innings, two strikeouts, only threw 19 pitches through two innings. That's pretty good. That's under 10 an inning. You want that? That's really good.
Yeah.
Apparently, so. 1-2-3 both innings. Fastball is at 93, not too bad. And then apparently he had a really good breaking ball.
I mean, that's all good and all that. It's great. But with all these arms coming back too, like this brings the question of like who do we want on this playoff roster pitching? And are we gonna base it off of like what we've seen out of Montgomery? Like, did we see that great of Montgomery like all so long ago too? Seemingly,
well, he was definitely gonna be on the 40 man.
Yeah, but then it goes back down to 25 for the playoffs. That's how it works. It goes back down to 25 for the playoffs.
No. You have your 40 man
for the September, when the playoffs start, you get 25.
Get a new 25 each series. So you have a 40 man roster
and then you
in
can
the
choose.
Playoffs, but you choose 25 guys from that 40 man
from
so
the
like,
pool of players.
So
to choose.
he could but not be on the 25 man roster for the NLCS or the ALDS, but he could be in the ALCS.
But my point being is, regardless, he will. I mean, why is the roster going to change too much?
It's for an injury sake. So say, for example, Seve's comes back and isn't good, then we have him to put in because he would be up all year if he was healthy this year. He would have been
Montgomery.
Yes.
I know, but we haven't seen much of him to begin with as a career, and it's been a while too. So I mean, Seve and Betances coming back, like, do we have him in? Like, I mean, he could take the Hap spot, but like, also, we don't really know what he brings to the table. He's very small. You're big on small sample size, but like, there's not much of story
small
with
sample
him.
Size, definitely.
A bigger story here going into the next series against the Seattle Mariners is we are going to face good old pal Justice Sheffield in one of these games. Which day was it?
Wednesday, August 28th.
Wednesday,
22nd.
That'd be really fun if it was a Justice Sheffield Paxton matchup because that's the exact trade that we went down. I mean, Paxton looked awesome. He looked awesome in his last start.
He was really masterful.
Good. I mean, it's kind of really good timing that he's going against his old team, coming off one of his best starts, arguably his best start because it was against a great team too, in the Dodgers. I mean. Good timing for him, ready to get his mojo back. I mean, he's definitely going to be up to the task against his old team. He's going to want it. So, it'd be really fun.
He's gotten hit around a little bit this year, though, Sheffield, at least.
Yeah, I know. And it'd be fun to watch. It'd be fun to really put a ton of runs up and just to, like, directly prove that we won the trade, even though it may not seem that way right now.
When we traded it, I didn't think we won the trade. I thought Justin Sheffield was going to come around and win a Cy Young in 10 years. He's still really young. I was mad. I was actually upset about that.
We just didn't know a lot about him. We knew what Paxton brought to the table, and he's been very disappointing thus far this year, very streaky. But, I mean, if he brings what he has, what he brought to the last game to the table for now and going forward, I'm very happy with that. Regardless of what if it gets us a World Series, we won the trade. That's always the old adage.
Yeah,
like everyone says, like with the Chris Sale thing, I was talking to Matt about like him, like Yoan Moncada and Kopech, and like if they won the trade or not. And he said yes, because our part of the trade was a short term. We want to win the World Series, and we got one. So they won the trade on Matt automatically, regardless of
unless the White Sox go and win two.
I get it, but like they got what they wanted out of the trade,
which won't happen.
Which works, and that's the same thing with like the Cubs when they got Chapman. Like they lost Gleyber Torres, but they also won the trade a little bit, mm-hmm. Well, not a little bit,
could
a lot
you
because
if they had Gleyber Torres though.
Yeah, him and Javi up the middle would be nuts.
Oh my god,
those are two similar players too. But like that, you win the trade there, and if we win a World Series and Paxton plays a big role, like you never know who could be that MVP. Like look at Steve Pearce last year in the World Series.
If Javi and Gleyber Torres were in the same infield, nobody would ever steal a base.
No.
They're the two best taggers in
MLB history. That'd be crazy.
Like,
No one would ever run. No one would ever run.
And Contreras has a pretty good arm, too. That'd be a touch.
That'd be electric.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah. All right. Well, so circling back, we got a nice little preview, nice little change of pace going into a team that is much more inferior to us in the Seattle Mariners. And then we go after the A's again at home, so that's helpful. I really want to beat them down. So, I mean, we're looking a lot better than we were a couple days ago, and I think everyone's spirits are much higher than they were.
For sure.
And we're in a much better place after this Dodgers series.
For sure. And I think we're looking good going forward. I think we're going to be able to redeem ourselves against the A's. I don't really see us losing to Seattle unless we have a little hiccup like we did with the A's. And then, I mean, not that the schedule is easy after that, but Texas isn't anything special. We get to probably beat up on the Red Sox for four games in a row after that. Then we play the Little Sisters of the Poor in Detroit, and then the Big Sisters of the Poor in Toronto. And then
What'd you call it?
The Little Sisters of the Poor.
I've never heard that.
And the Big Sisters of the Poor. So we have to play Texas. Like, there's not that many good teams on the rest
of the
schedule.
The marquee series.
We could go up. The best team we play, we have one series against the Rays.
This is also when we're going to trickle back with getting more players too, as we go and get more like of the October mindset. We're going to all really start buckling down. So I like high hopes for going to exit the season, get like home field advantage, everything like that. I'm feeling really good.
We need an easy schedule. We need an easy month and a good month because then we get home field.
This Dodgers series changed everything for me. Like, I mean, the sky was not falling before, but it definitely didn't feel good. And now after this series, I feel a lot better.
It's pretty astonishing how down we were
to how on top of the world we are now.
Yeah, because we split one with the Blue Jays. I'm like, oh, that sucks. And then we swept the Orioles, and then we split one with the Indians. And we're like, oh man. And then the Athletics thing happened. But like for most teams, that's not an awful stretch.
I mean,
then after the Athletic series, we jump to the sky is falling. Like, that just says how good the season is.
Exactly. That tells us what the hopes are at. Like, we do still have 85 wins, is it now?
85, yeah.
We have 85 wins, and when we lost three, we were like, holy fuck, like, we suck. Like, because that's relative to how we think we should be doing. Like, I mean, yeah, this team, the way this team is, we should win every single game. Like, that, and that's fair for us. It's not fair for us to want that, but like as a fan, you want to see your team win every single day. And when you lose four in a row, which you haven't done all season, it's kind of fair to say like this guy's a little bit falling in relation to how the season's been going, because that is something that never happened this season.
And it's exciting. I'm excited for it too, because we're also going into the stretch of my favorite part of I guess the year is when all the sports kind of come together. And that's October. You got playoff baseball in October.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
You got football, both college football and the NFL are both kind of in full swing then. And then the NHL picks back up around the same time. And I'm just excited for
October baseball is something different. We're exiting the dog days of summer now. And definitely you can see. I mean, I think the exact time where we're leaving the dog days of summer was this series. I think this series.
I agree.
The start of playoff baseball. Because every game, not just for us, like, less for us about every game mattering, which it does. But like with these playoff races coming down to the line, like last year there was two game 163s, like that could happen. Like the NL is like is tight.
It's exciting. It's as so a fan, tight. Not even just a Yankees fan, but just in general as a fan of baseball, it's a good time for it. Yeah. It's so exciting, and it's gonna be.
Yeah, and we're actually
right about the Dodgers series though. That it was the breakout. It was
breaking up the season.
It was like
season.
The week one kind of thing. Here it is. Now we're here.
Yeah.
Playing.
Now the other fans who aren't as obsessive as us are going to start trickling back. Like the playoffs are about to start. Like everyone's going to get more involved. And that's why actually we're going to start to wrap this up here. We're also going to start adding episodes once a week. I'm not sure when we're going to do it. It might be around next week or the week after.
We're going to
start covering around the league because of how. We're still going to talk Yankees twice a week, but we're going to try and get another quicker episode in with around the league and talk about like all the big storylines with like maybe the Mets and have Mets fans come on here and talk about like their playoff race, just cool shit. Because I mean, as Yankee fans, we do have the obligation to care all about the Yankees, but you're still a baseball fan first and foremost, and every other situation does matter to us. Like maybe we'll cover the Astros and how they've been doing, because it will matter down the stretch when we play against these teams. And
it'll be fun because we've just had buddies coming up and saying, oh, let me talk about the Mets, let me talk about the Red Sox. And it'll be fun to have them on and just rip them apart while they're on here.
Yeah.
It's just going to be
fun. Yeah, so we'll get a lot more insight around the league, so keep an eye out for that, definitely. But as usual, rate, subscribe. It helps us out, make a lot more episodes. It feels good, too. Definitely like seeing that, the thumbs up and everything like that. Yeah, so make sure you subscribe and everything like that. Follow us on social media if you don't already. Tag your friends, show everybody these podcasts. We're having a lot of fun doing it. We hope you guys like it too. But yeah, let's go Yanks, and let's keep this train rolling.
Let's go Yanks.
How to save a life.